Hello, welcome to the F1 show. Yes, it's immediate, and I'm talking 20 minutes of technical errors after the F1 race has finished in Austin, Texas. And I'm here to discuss the results and what's going on this week with the fantastic panel, which is the top left. We've got Mr. Tony Blunt. How you doing, mate?
Not bad, not bad. Just enjoyed a brilliant race.
Excellent. And I've got to say, I thought that was possibly one of the best races of the season. And I know, as an enormous Hamilton fan, you would have loved that, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. You love Hamilton. You know you do.
He did well in that race. Yeah. He's done well all this year, really.
Next to him, we've got Mr. Chris Woods. How you doing, pal?
Hello, mate.
Good, good, good. Finally joining us. Twice in 1 week. You're like a bus, mate.
Yeah, well, you know.
Next to him, Sarah Gray. How you doing, girl?
Yeah, I must be a bus as well, then.
Excellent. And the reason I sound like I'm rushing is because Steve Neighbour is in a pub in London. That's really loud. How you doing, mate?
How are you?
I'm fine. You've just watched the race. He can't even hear me. Steve, are you there?
Yes, can you hear you well?
Yes, great. How was it for you?
Great. My sound goes off whenever I'm talking to you. I can't hear you. But when I turn myself on mute, I can hear you fine. But I'm in the pub.
Well, we'll have to learn to be polite then.
Yeah. What's the name of this pub? This is called it's a London pub that specialises in F1 showings. We've watched the film. I can tell we're in a pub, can't you?
Yes, you can. And we can tell you've been drinking.
Screen. It's about it's about 15 foot wide. It's great.
And we can tell you've been drinking as well, mate, I'm sure.
Not at all. Never do that on podcasts.
No. There's a chair.
Where's the mead?
The mead here.
God, no. I've still got it in my back garden. I was going to water the flowers with it, but...
Oh, we've got a football game going on in the background. Nice bit of rebroadcasting going on there.
Sorry about that. You can see the bar. I can turn it that way. See the bar. All right. There's some people buying a drink. I keep asking for one, but they just say, well, what the heck are you doing? What's that microphone doing?
Tell them you're famous. Right. The week in F1. I mean, the afternoon in F1, because it's just this minute finished. What do you think? First impressions of the race? First impressions of the track? I mean, come on.
Awesome track.
Yeah. Fantastic track. I mean, we kind of expected a lot of it, and it delivered. Enough said.
Chris?
It was dangerous, wasn't it? Because it could have gone either one or two ways. It could have been just terribly derivative, and everyone's going, this is no fun at all. I do wonder what it would have been like if they brought appropriate tyres.
I think
it would have been as good.
There was a great point made on the Sky coverage of what we should do every week is relay the track and bring completely the wrong tyre.
Yeah.
Because they've all driven really carefully. There's not been any stupidness. They've been sliding left, right and centre. I mean, that first practice, Gordon Bennett, most of them were sideways at some point.
I'm just waiting for a tweet from Paul Hembry saying next season they're introducing Super Soft and Goose Down for the more endurance races. See what happens, you know.
Steve, we haven't talked to you about the track. I mean, this is your first chance to tell us. What do you think of the track?
Loved it. It was a great track. I think we should design tracks and run them on newly designed tracks every time. Well, the good thing about the new design track was that the curves were perfectly designed for the modern car. A lot of the old circuits are designed for previous cars, etc. When they designed that circuit, it was exactly for the modern cars. Therefore, it was a great opportunity to design it. Where we're going to have the DRS, where we're going to have the braking zones, etc. It worked well.
It does kind of put the older tracks. That's a good point, Steve. It does kind of put the older tracks. And also some of the newer tracks to shame, because some of them haven't taken that into account when building the track.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you look at Silverstone was designed for a Yardley BRM. I mean,
I remember those quite well.
I had one for Sky Electrics, mate. They were top of the range. I mean, the track was great. It looked fantastic. That technical section through turn 3, 4, 5 6, 7, 8, 9 was brilliant. The turn into turn 19 for the home straight was just superb. Everyone was sideways at that. And it just looked a stunning, stunning track. And the elevation change. There was an interview with Mario Andretti this morning, and he said, you know, one of the things that was important here was the elevation change. Drivers love the elevation change. They love the adhesion that they get from downforce, from going down slopes, and then they like the lightness that they're getting, almost the shopping trolley experience, I was thinking, when they get to the top end of it. And I just, fantastic.
Especially
a T1.
So I think we covered it in a previous show, didn't we? It's like India, the India track kind of had all that, but not to this extent.
I liked India. I thought India was decent. China is probably one of the better, more modern tracks. Because it's got that really long turn that just tightens and tightens and tightens and tightens, and there's many lines into it, which I thought was really good. And one of the hairpins at Austin was really great, because it's like they opened it out, so you could really promote passing into that. You could promote the late break to turn into it, and the drivers utilised it. There was a lot of passing today.
Oh God, yes, yeah,
it was great.
No boats though.
There was no boats.
Yeah.
Well, there was no
these. Grand Prix with the boats kind of in the harbour watching it.
Most of
them have it now.
There's no sea really, though, to be fair.
They had RVs parked, didn't they?
Yes. And some of those were boats. God, they were huge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The expense goes into some of them. It's like they're yachts.
What was the view like in the pub then, Steve? Was the. Was it this pub?
This pub is called the.
The Jet Lag.
What was it?
Jet lag something, isn't it?
Please say they showed the Formula 1. You haven't just been watching football.
It's great.
For
I got a seat. I walked in about 10 minutes before the start. I got a seat, and it's a nice relaxed bar as well. It's more of a lounge, I would call it, rather than a pub. And, no, brilliant place. I tell you what, I've sent you an email for the Brazil finale that they're doing.
Right.
Is that in a week's time?
Yeah.
They've got salsa dancing girls. They've got a Brazilian bar, and before the F1 starts at 1 o'clock, 1 hour before it starts, they're showing the Senna movie. How good is that?
Oh, that's good. That's good. So what were the comments that were being made in the pub, Steve? Is there any feedback from anyone there?
Lots of, obviously, Hamilton fans. Lots of praise for Alonso. Most people didn't want Vettel to win for some reason.
You were
really exciting, actually. Worked really well in the pub. I've never watched an F1 in a pub before, but maybe that particular race in itself, but every single race, every single overtake, everyone was, you know, standing up and clapping. The wheel to action, everyone was kind of, you could hear the breath, everyone taking a breath in. And the really interesting thing was the audio's played quite loud, so you can hear all the commentary. Particularly, the whole pub goes quiet when the radio commentary is played from the driver to driver, and the whole pub goes quiet and everyone listens in. It's really well done. And the pub has, is it 7 surround sounds?
Right.
So the engine sound was coming from underneath the big screen, which is the 15-foot thing over there. And then behind my right ear was the radio, and over on the left-hand side was the commentators. It's done really well. Well done.
Excellent.
It's interesting, actually, because I haven't had a chance to watch in surround, so interesting how they mix it.
How they mix it?
Yeah.
I think we'll have to go to the pub for next week.
I think we should all go down to this place that Steve's at, and we should have a show there. Do the whole thing from there afterwards.
Yeah, do the whole thing live.
That'd be great.
That's why I found it was on Twitter. If you go F1 in the pub, and then there's a whole place wherever, whatever part of the world you're in, whether it's Cardiff or Bristol or whatever, there's pubs that have been chosen by particular petrol heads in that area. And this is the London one. So whether you're in Cardiff or maybe even Norwich, you might be able to find a pub that hosts it.
Good, excellent. Right, now I think the thing that we've got to talk about first is probably one of the last things that happened prior to the race. Qualification was interesting. We'll go through that in a second. But the big talking point, Twitter went ballistic with this, was that Ferrari suddenly decided that Massa needed a new gearbox, and they took the five place hit and whipped him off down the grid so that Alonso could go up one point and go across to the clean side of the grid. What's the view on that?
my view was, I think, the view that it was taken by. I saw some of the conversation going on Twitter about it was, I actually thought that, yes, okay, it's actually typical for Ferrari. It's, they're actually doing, yes, with not technically breaking the rules, but breaking the spirit of the rules.
There's no such thing as a spirit of a rule.
Mm. Yeah, I know, but it's, I just felt that it was, I thought it was cheating by another name.
I think the best sort of way I saw it put was gamesmanship, but I don't see a problem with that.
Ferrari have track record in using the rules, haven't they? They've done it before.
But they're not the only ones either.
No, I got to say, I thought the way you guys are thinking quite a long time ago, and then I entered a golf tournament, and I was playing with a guy who was a very good golfer, who was my opponent in the tournament that I was playing in, and I said, I pulled my ball left, and the direct line between me and the green, there was a man-made object. And I said, I don't know if I get relief from this. And he said, well, getting an official out. That's what they're here for. And I said, well, yeah, but I mean, you know, it's 30 yards away and it's, you know, I should be able to bend the ball around. I've got other options. And he said, no, he said, get an official out. And I said, well, I don't want to trouble him. He said, look, you're paid to hit the ball. He's paid to make a decision. Get him out, get him to tell you what the rule says, and get him to decide whether you need relief or not. And he came out and he said, yeah, that's fine. That's in your line of sight. You got a two-club relief from the nearest point, no penalty. And I took the relief and I dropped and I played it. And the point was there, rule makers make rules and they enforce rules. If Ferrari had broken those rules, then it's up to the enforcing authorities to enforce them. If they haven't broken their rules, then it's up to them to play the game within the rules, which is what they've done.
It's by another name,
Ewan. It's not cheating by another name,
well,
not at all.
They did get the penalty for the part of the rules that they did break.
Exactly. That's my point. And I've never heard of anyone breaking the rules deliberately to get a penalty as a benefit. Superb.
And it's playing the team game at the same time.
Well, I think...
And it happens every Saturday, breaking the rules to get a benefit.
Why, what's that?
I was listening to Radio 5 Live on the way here, and they were talking about football players, and there's two views of managers when you're a winger. One is to ride the challenge and keep going, and the other one is when you're challenged, you have the right to go down to ground. And that's exactly the same thing, in that you are basically playing the game, playing the rules of the game to get an advantage if you fall, if you dive or fall to the ground quite quickly to get a free kick. So that's all the Ferrari have done. They've just played the rules to get an advantage.
And it's up to the referee to make the decision. That's what he's paid for.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that's my view. I mean, it's a debate where you can have a completely opposing view, and it's a democracy, so we can have that opposing view. But I keep coming back to this event that happened to me, and it was all about, you know, they're paid to make the decision, not you. You're paid to play the game. Get on with it. So let's, what have we got? We got Tony saying that it was fair. Steve saying it was.
Yeah, I think I completely did the right thing. Makes right. sense from a championship point of view, from a team point of view, and quality to Massa if he doesn't come out spitting feathers. Well done.
Chris, what's your view?
Yeah, what's the problem?
And Sarah, your view? Cheating by another name.
But I can understand why they did it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
That's just fine. To make that clear that I'm not saying that, you know, given that they can do it.
Yeah, I really felt sorry for Massa, I had to say. Because he's had a dog of a season, hasn't he?
But
he
did pull a good race out of it.
He's risen to the challenge in the last few races. He's done really, really well.
That's my point.
And he actually rescued this back, you know, and he almost made it onto the podium, which is pretty good, I think, considering that he took five place grid penalty. Who knows where he might have been if he hadn't have had that. Yeah.
I thought, you know, he has had such a bad season this year. I mean, all the kicking he got at the start, you know, he really, really, really was getting a tank in. And, you know, to finally start making some headway in the last couple of weeks and become a useful member of the team, And then all of a sudden, he's got to take a 5 gridder for his pen, for his teammate. My heart went out to him. I have to say.
And all that sort of goodwill towards him has been since, you know, he's really picked up his form since he renewed his contract.
Yeah.
As well. That
felt a bit like there was a bit of commitment.
I think it was one or two races before that he actually renewed his contract that you find that he was actually starting to pick up his performance.
Yeah. No, good on him.
He was better in the car than Alonso was today.
Yeah, but they were saying that Alonso had a new diffuser on the back of his car, which they only had on Alonso.
Well, Steve, hang on, wait till you're ready to talk, mate. Go ahead, Sarah. Sorry.
I was going to say, I read that he had this new double diffuser that apparently they were saying was going to be likely to be an absolute problem during quali, which is why they had such a bad quali. But they thought that it would actually be really good during the race, and so it proved. I mean, you know, I don't know if you saw that right at the start. He just came, you know, right up from seventh to fourth, and he at one point he actually looked like he could have been on the back of Hamilton.
Yeah, Steve, you got a point
on Massa taking out Vettel.
just plain and simple, doing a shoey on him.
Talking of that, did you see
you're off mute, Steve. Go on, Sarah.
Did you see Shuey and Button? And when Button went past and he just gave him a little, what they called it. It was something like the Schumacher shuffle or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, essentially. Why
just
did
gave
he
him a little
really?
Tap just to say, you know, I'm still here, you know.
Shuey sweep, wasn't it?
That's it, yeah, I couldn't remember.
The Shuey sweep.
I prefer to call it the Barrichello barge.
That's right. Yeah, Rubens was there as well. Did you see him?
Yeah, in
he
the
was,
Ferrari
yes.
garage of all things.
Yeah.
Which surprised me.
Well, I reckon he's probably done a bit of testing for them, hasn't he, or something this season.
Well, I'm going to say he spent the last 2 years back giving him
a go, Steve. Go ahead, Steve. You're off mic now. You need to come off mute. Go ahead. No, you're still off.
I thought Shuey had a great race. It was great entertainment. I thought he was trying to take everyone out.
Fair point. Now, I missed turn one. I didn't see the very start of the Grand Prix. What happened at turn one? Fill me in.
Well, it was about Alonso and Webber getting past Hamilton and Alonso getting up to fourth.
So, no bad smashes.
Oh. Shuey dropped back 6 places and Jensen dropped 2 places.
I was surprised Hamilton sort of lost out, really. It was sort of through the next few corners he really lost out, but you know, I was surprised. It did sort of bring to mind, you know, when he was talking about, we need to clean up this side of the grid, you know, because there was the row about being less grippy.
That's right. I was saying, Massa apparently did a test start on the even-numbered side of the track, and apparently it said that it was a lot worse, and that's why they were. I guess that's why Ferrari probably decided to let Massa take a penalty. But it took Lewis to lap 3 to actually get back past Webber.
No, what's the kind of feeling between Jensen and Hamilton? Because certainly the last sort of 3 or 4 races, there's been a real separation between the two. Lewis has really been making the car perform. And I know Jensen's had a few little niggles and issues with the reliability, but I've got this feeling that that's not just been it. I think Lewis has been the better driver and the better utiliser of the car when it's worked well.
You don't think it's got anything to do with the fact that McLaren know that they're out of the championship and that they're putting all the experimental bits for next year onto Jensen's car because they know they can't do without Lewis?
But you would have hoped the experimental bits would have made him go faster, not slower.
Well, not necessarily. That's why I say it's experimental at this stage.
He's just testing it. Yeah.
There's no way they're going to put it on Lewis's car, obviously, because you know they don't want to give that information away to him. But it is just experimental. They know they've got nothing to lose because they're not in either championship.
That's a conspiracy theory, isn't it?
I'm not saying it's true, but it would seem to make sense.
Any thoughts, Chris? You're very quiet tonight.
We know. So I'm just rewatching the start of the race because my Skybox crashed. But I managed to get a replay of the start. We know that the drivers don't know exactly what parts they have. because that's been said as much by Whitmarsh earlier when this exact topic was raised. So we know that they don't usually know exactly what components are going on. They know roughly what's being done so they can give accurate feedback. But it's interesting because Jensen has this style which suits wet driving. So perhaps he can just adjust his style a little better and make it work. But then on the flip side of things, when the tyres were beginning to come back in, Lewis was doing well, and they were discussing how he'd managed to find a driving style that suited the tyres and suited the car, getting the nose in early and getting the heat into the core of the tyre and bringing them in. I wondered if his past experience and his success in karting, where the compounds are super hard and you're quite often driving, everything's cold, you can bring the tyres in and make them work. So, you know, the track's played to both of their strengths, hasn't it, in some respects? Well, but Jensen's just a very consistent driver.
Yeah, and there was also the piece of radio after that, after his pit stop, where they said, oh, these tyres look fine, because they weren't going to be quite sure yet. These tyres look fine, and go ahead with your other tyres.
That was they obviously fueled the everyone, when he was chasing NASA, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Stephen, thoughts?
Qualifying, but my favourite bit on qualifying was the look that the McLaren boss gave when Button came in and his throttle wasn't working, i.e. his pedal was too short, whatever that means. The look that was on the McLaren principal's boss, his face was brilliant.
What was it? I didn't see it.
Look, I'll try and hear. Ready?
Yeah. Okay.
Like that.
Excellent.
Okay. Then.
I love the fact we've been doing this for 2 years and Tony Blunt has finally got some camera savvy. And I've just switched to a close-up of Chris and you could see on his camera, he's obviously watching the feed at home, and as soon as it's blipped off and gone onto Chris, he's up with a tin of Carlsberg, supping it as fast as he can.
Professionalism exemplified.
I know it is. That's proper job, Tone. Proper job, mate. It's what I do.
Yeah, well, you know, he's getting media savvy now. No pun intended.
I mean, he's a straw, Tony. Yeah,
it's interesting watching the start back. Alonso had a very, very, very good start. Went up the outside, but then took a really wide line into the corner, and he must have got onto the less grippy area and just lost a load of ground. So the two Red Bulls and the McLaren just tore away. And then all of a sudden, going into the S's, he's actually got quite a sizable gap. So he did well to keep pace.
Mm. Yeah.
All credit to Ferrari for giving him the boot up and getting him on the right side of the track, and that's where the grip was, and that's why it's such a good race.
Yeah,
absolutely. Right, needed it. Yeah. We'll see the same again in Portugal, I'm sure, if there's a need. That gearbox could only last one race, maybe.
Oh, what messes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see the same thing. Or do you think they'll go, 10-point grid penalty or something? So.
Yeah, we've got to wait and see, wouldn't we? He might have to change an engine if he's not close enough.
Yeah.
It depends whether Massa actually finishes ahead of Alonso.
Yeah, I was going to say there is that, of course.
Yeah, that's
otherwise
true.
That option doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, now, looking forward to Interlagos, it has to be said that there is a real possibility. They're talking 40% chance of rain.
70%.
Tasty, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's long-range forecast for a start, which is about as reliable as wetting your finger and holding it up. But they're saying that long-term, there's a real good chance. And at the end of the Sky coverage, they were talking 40% chance of rain in Sao Paulo. So.
Yeah, Croft is kind of wetting himself over that, wasn't he?
It's not going to rain, says Chris, no?
No, it's not Brazil without rain. I mean, Interlagos is between lakes, because that's what it is. So if it didn't rain, I'd be surprised.
Rivers across the track.
I hope it doesn't rain. It means that in my pub, they won't have the salsa dancers.
Oh, if it rains, we know who's going to win, don't we? Jensen.
It won't rain in, well, probably won't rain in London.
I don't know. I think this could be a fantastic finish. I mean, you've had, it can't be better set up than it already is. You know, you had the storm back from Vettel, and we all hate Vettel for some reason, and it's got to the stage now where you're like, come on, I really want Alonso to win, and he's got back into today. I mean, you've got Hamilton taking the major points away from Vettel, so it means Vettel's instantly closer to Alonso in the finishing, and you've got a 2-3 finish on the World Championship, and now you've got the next bit is just going to be superb. I mean, what's the permutations of closeout?
Well, it's 13-point lead, isn't it? So it means that if Alonso wins the race, Vettel's got finished outside the top three or four for Alonso to win the title.
Right.
Anything else pretty much gives it to Vettel.
So how are we calling it then?
It's got to be Vettel.
Massa takes him out, corner two.
Yeah.
just tanks into him.
You can really see Massa being the enforcer.
Well, it would be good if he can get anywhere close to him on the grid. Vettel on pole and Massa alongside him could be a very interesting start of the race, couldn't it?
Oh, T1, there's going to be some steering racks flying.
We'll see, won't we? If Massa's Ferrari comes with a Gatling on the T-bar cam, then we'll know what's going on.
it's a new update.
Poor
aero performance, but
that would be very interesting if Vettel was on pole with Massa alongside him and Alonso behind, as we were talking about earlier. Do we think that Ferrari would actually accidentally break the seal on Massa's gearbox to put Alonso alongside, say, or do we think they'd actually leave him there with the possibility of taking out Vettel?
I've just got an image in my head on practice one. With the Ferrari coming out with the front end of a Vauxhall Viva welded on the front, just for corner one, and
Rob Smedley in the top with a little machine gun.
Well, no, Rob Smedley would pick a Vauxhall Viva, wouldn't he? He'd have that, or he'd have the front of a Spitfire on there, two inches of thick metal, and he'd come up and he'd just bulldoze this thing off the track, and then he'd come in for a wing change.
We want Massa in there with a James Bond car with all those gadgets and oil slicks and stuff like that could cause fun again.
Well, that's what Webber's got, isn't it?
Pure experimental part.
You know that they all like having the helmets decorated with stuff these days. I reckon Massa's helmet's going to have a horse's head on the top. That's all I'm saying. Bull's mind that he's after him.
Oh, man. You could just see that there's going to be a camera angle where Vettel comes to do an interview and Adrian Newey walks up behind him and pats him on the back, and as he walks off he's got "shunt me" written on the back of his on the back of his overalls.
I've tried really, really hard to like Vettel, but after he threw his toys out the pram on the radio today after Hamilton overtook him.
I was going to say, what's that about?
Yeah, come off it. They all do it.
Oh, look, he passed me the cheating git. He went past me.
Exactly. Yeah.
But they all do it.
Yeah, we saw that. Said,
they all do it. They've all played that game this year. Alonso played it. Button's even played it at one point.
But Hamilton did absolutely nothing wrong on that overtaking.
Exactly. They just all play this game of, oh, we'll moan on the radio, so... Yeah,
he cheated. He cheated.
We're making Charlie aware of this.
He cheated. He uses his DRS.
Is that
that's pretty much what it was, wasn't it?
It's as close as I can do.
Yeah.
Chris Forsman does a great Arnie. Yeah. I've got to get to Mars.
Get the chopper. There's always a chopper in Arnie films.
He said he's got too close. I mean, yeah, well, if I'm going to overtake you, I guess I probably will do.
Watching the overtake on board, it was mighty close at one point.
Yeah, but so, that's the point. It's a lane.
A race.
I'm getting tapped on the shoulder by some guys who want to have a chat with you.
All right, okay, I'll get him on. Let's get him on.
But the two Williams at the end of the race, I mean, when Maldonado apparently raided it and said, "Can I have a go?" And they go,
"Yeah, sure, check him out. That was a good pass.
Interlocking wheels. I mean, that was.
Oh yeah, they were really close to bumping over front and rear wheel, weren't they?
Yeah. And then there's Brendan Little Crofty going, "Yeah, good pass, good clean racing." I'm thinking, hang on a minute, come on, double standards.
Teammates.
Yeah. There you go, you know. As long as there's no accident.
Who the bloody hell are these boys? So Steve has got us. Here we go. Two F1 fans. Who are... Fill us in who they are, Steve.
These guys are the guys that are sitting next to me in the pub. I'm just going to put their headphones in so they can hear you and I can't. But these guys are the guys that are sitting next to me in the pub. And their names are...
I'm Stuart Greenwood.
Stuart, hello.
And Chris.
Hello, Evans. Chris.
And
Chris Evans, way!
Just tell me... Did you enjoy the race?
Yes. Amazing race.
Yeah, it was great.
Why do you think that was a good race?
I'm more happy that it's exactly the race America needed. It was a great race at a great track with a sellout crowd, and I think after the debacle that was Indianapolis a few years ago, we might finally have F1 working in America.
I want to go back to Watkins Glen.
Well, yeah.
Who do you think the pub was rooting for today?
It's tough to tell, really.
Yeah, there was certainly an Alonso contingent.
Yeah, there was definitely there was a lot of varied support around the pub. I don't think it was any specific thing. I think there was definitely there's a huge shout out for Hamilton when he made that crucial overtake to take the race. But
just get a bit closer to the mic, fellas.
Have you watched it here before? You're going to watch it next week here.
No, this is their first time I'm here, actually, but we'll definitely be there next weekend. I've not heard a cheer for F1 like I did when Hamilton made that overtake. So,
yeah,
we'll definitely be here next week for the finale.
So, guys, I don't know if you can hear these two in the studio, but do you want to ask them anything?
Why does everyone hate Vettel so much? Can you put your finger on it?
We were saying earlier, I think it's harkening back to the Schumacher days of the same person winning all the time, and I think people like variety, I guess.
I was looking for something a bit more base, like he's German, but
possibly the fact that he's German as well. Yeah.
Ah, there we go. See. The only thing that stops him from being hated more is he's not French.
Yeah, where have all the French drivers gone, actually?
Well,
we had another one.
Well, actually, no, that's a good point. Because we need a French enforcer next week to knock Vettel off the track. And we were just saying there should be some modifications to Grosjean's car so we can take Vettel out, or they should be doing masses so that he can shunt, forget gearbox changes and all that subtle stuff. He just wants us to ram the guy. Do you see that? Because I mean, that was the thing, wasn't it? Years ago, Shuey, was allegedly trying to get Damon Hill off the track when it was down to the I can't remember what year that was. About 89.
It was 93.
It's 93. It's going back away.
Yeah, it's mid-90s. Yeah.
Well, it's the thing. Although a lot of people are giving Ferrari stick for ripping open Master's gearbox, at least Ferrari were open about the fact they're doing it, whereas Red Bull are a little bit more underhand, I guess, about their favouritism in the team.
Yeah, no.
That's very true. They did actually make a sort of public statement, didn't they, that we're doing this for the championship.
But I find that a bit of a... I think it's a bit of a shame that they've had to... That they did that, because I think it opens a lot of sort of bad doors, really. Like, how long is it before we've got Red Bull open up Webber's gearbox so that Vettel, supposing Webber outqualifies Vettel, how long is it before they open up his gearbox just to move Vettel up one spot so he's got an advantage? Weekend.
Well, it will happen. It'll happen.
It's a bad thing. I think there should be some sort of reprimand for that kind of behaviour. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's good for the sport.
We've had this conversation, and we all agreed it was within the rules. Therefore, the enforcers are down to enforce, not the teams. Well, Sarah kind of did, but didn't.
Yeah,
cheating by the name.
I said I don't blame them for doing it.
Close for next year, isn't it?
Yeah. No good.
Steve been relegated to bartender duty.
Yeah, Steve has been sent to get the beers in while these two hog his mic and watch his battery draining down.
Yeah, we hog the mic, we take the beer. That's the plan.
Right, fellas, we do a thing at the end of the podcast called the Magic Moment, and all you've got to do is come up with something from the from the race that you thought was the Magic Moment. So give us yours, and then you can give us Steve back.
Go on,
one each. No, come on, Chris.
I think just for the fact that this is the first time we've watched F1 in a bar like this, for the cheer that came up when Hamilton passed Vettel.
Yeah.
I've never experienced something like that watching F1 before, so yeah.
Right, everyone else is now scrambling to try and think of another moment.
Yeah, Jesus. I've got two more. No, I should have gone first. Mine's probably the same. Mine's probably, that moment when he made that move. and the crowd just, they loved it. I've never experienced that before. I've not been to a race actually, but that's one of the things that makes me would love to go to a race, is to experience that at the venue would be amazing. So yeah, that's,
you want to go, you want to go around one of the factories, mate.
But in there, I think this atmosphere here was better than going to the race for me. So I've been to two or three races, and you don't get as good a coverage when you go to the race, because you don't know quite who's in the lead, who's second. You only see one corner.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Whereas the TV coverage is brilliant, but here's a combination of both, because you get the atmosphere and you also get the TV coverage.
Yeah, I was at Silverstone 3 years ago. Yeah, I think it's 2 years ago, and there was, at the corner I was on, Hamilton passed Alonso, and there's a massive cheer, but the rest of the race is kind of, there's a constant level of confusion, everyone trying to keep up. Whereas, yeah, with everyone here on the same page, yeah, that moment was just great.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gents. Please, please give us back, Steve, and we'll get around the others. Cheers. Thanks a lot. Cheers. Tone, what was your magic moment, mate?
Lewis having a bit of a go down the radio. You're talking to me in the DRS zone. It was a bit like Kimmy's sort of leave me alone, I know what I'm doing moment.
I heard that this week for the first time, I have to say.
but I just thought, yeah, that's the part that made me laugh in the race. I don't, like, you guys are talking to me in the DRS zone, stop it. Like more reserved Kimmy.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, what's yours?
So I've got two.
Okay.
The first one was this one. Lap 13, Raikkonen around the outside of Hülkenberg. What a move that was.
Hülkenberg really did well, didn't he? I mean, his qualifying position was excellent. He was up at fifth at one point.
He was bloody good, he was.
He was.
My second favourite part of the race was Jensen, because he started, if I've done my maths correctly, he started 12th and finished 5th.
Good.
Which, looking at the stats from the live timing, I think is the largest net gain.
Out of all the people, yes.
Yeah. Grosjean started fairly well and then went all the way down to the back of the pack after his spin or something. And
Mass has got to be pretty close.
Roughly where he started.
Yeah,
but
lap 19.
Button did really well.
Very good. Very good.
I've got him as my joint driver of the day for that as well.
Yeah.
With Hamilton. So, my magic moment was obviously the battles between Vettel and Hamilton between laps 33, 37, also 41 and 42, obviously. And also the Button and Raikkonen battle between lap 45 and 46. But one of the things that made me laugh out loud was Martin Brundle referring to Jensen Button as the man you would like to drive your fleet cars because he's good on fire.
Yes.
That just made me laugh so much. It's a typical Brundleism that I've missed not having Sky coverage.
How did you not have Sky coverage in here, that then, Sarah? I'm a bit of a laugh.
She's got very good hearing.
Very kind person.
I got Martin to shout.
Yeah, let me watch it for
Steve.
Hook, Sarah. After watching your first Sky race, would you be tempted?
I would. You know, I was thinking that during that, Steve, and yes, I would.
It's excellent coverage. I mean, I love the pre-race. You complain about the pre-race, Tone, but
the only one I didn't really like was I didn't particularly think John Watson added anything to it.
No.
But James Allen and Martin Brundle and I've forgotten the name of the guy that's the main commentator.
But
I thought they were actually really good. They did a really good job.
He's got more bearable I can't remember.
Crofty,
yeah. Mm. I still don't see the point of Damon Hill. I like Johnny Herbert. I think he's really...
He was just there
crap.
When the podium...
I like having Johnny Herbert on. And who's the lad who does the board? Tony
and Davidson,
and he's brilliant, absolutely
and
excellent.
Davidson,
absolutely excellent. He's superb. He does the old technical board, and here's where they went, and that's why they did this. And look at the little correction. And you're like, wow, that's good. Magic moment for you, Steve.
Coming down to the bar to watch this. My favourite bit was the Stetsons. Sorry, I haven't been hearing all the audio of what you've said, so apologies for repeating, but the hats that they wore at the end, Jensen's Button drive was amazing. He really committed himself. And all the people down in the jet lag bar. There's two different grounds here. It's not just this bar, it's the one above as well. It's all F1. It's great.
Brilliant. No, it sounds really, really good. It's a shame we can't be there next week. If Carly will babysit my kids, I could come down and do it. How much does she charge? That was too fast, I didn't hear. Never mind. So Say again?
I will ask.
No, I'm joking. The wife would kill me.
But seriously, no, it looks amazing next week here. Jet lagged bar, dancing girls, Senna, in person, maybe. And a band as well, a Brazilian band. So if there's anyone else in London who wants to come out and watch this next Sunday, I'm going to try my hardest to be here as well.
Well, we'll tweet it out and get everyone down there. I've got to say, I loved the Stetsons. When I saw them putting them on in the ready room, they were great. Really, really good. I've got to agree with Batwench in the chat room, my man Steve. Absolutely superb. And I love the pass with Hamilton. I know it's been taken, but it really was superb. And the thing was as well, it's not when you get that kind of pass. You just come off mute, Steve. Hang on a sec. When you get that kind of pass, I hate it when they get the DRS and then the following bend, someone sticks the Curzon just afterwards because they haven't used that and they're back in and nothing's changed. It's just been a tit-for-tat change. But that was great to see him get past. And then he opened up the gap to beyond the DRS zone. So there was no way that Vettel can come back. And I thought the tyre thing was really interesting this week. It really was. Turn up with the wrong tyres and you have a great race because people had no clue what to do with pit stops, whether to do the mediums or the hard compounds. All you needed was, I reckon, actually, in the first couple of days, if someone had gone out on intermediates, they probably would have done a really good time. And
yeah,
also,
I'm surprised they didn't try that.
One of the things I found very interesting was that the practice time, the fastest practice time that Vettel put in was 1:38. And on the first qualifying run, Q1, he'd wiped 3 seconds off that time, which I thought was pretty amazing.
That is awesome, yeah.
That is huge.
For the record, Vettel's fastest lap was the fastest lap of the race, 1:39.347 on the final lap.
Did you see how that happened, right, at the very on the line? I thought it was amazing. Hamilton absolutely opened the door to allow him to do that, because obviously Hamilton just got the fastest lap on the previous lap. He pulls over to the side just to cross over the finishing line, allowing Vettel to go straight down and grab the fastest lap.
Vettel wasn't slowing down.
If Hamilton had kept the racing line, Vettel wouldn't have got that because he was that close enough behind him. He wouldn't have been able to do it.
Vettel didn't break at all over the line. He was like a sprinter through the line and on. Yeah,
because he wanted that fastest lap.
Excellent. Good race. I got to say, the season is poised beautifully, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's 3-point gap instead of a 13-point gap would have made it even more poised.
A vintage season for F1.
Let's wait until this time next week.
No, I think you can call it now. I'd say absolutely. I think I've never seen as much of an interest in F1 as I've seen this year. Yeah. In general, people talking down sharps and that kind of stuff.
It's been a bit topsy-turvy, hasn't it? Because the boring tracks have actually been the best ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was coming down to this pub tonight to watch F1. I literally thought it would be a pub with a TV on the corner with like 5 people in there. 2 floors of the pub absolutely packed out. It's amazing. Yeah. I didn't think it would be that busy.
It's been engaging.
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely. This podcast and all the others that we've got on the network is brought to you by UK2.net. They pick up all our bandwidth, even when Apple create an iOS glitch that means that we get 500,000 downloads of the Max Show, which we kind of figured that one was wrong. Don't worry.
Shame.
We only do 60,000 normally. We can't say enough good things about these. There are still a few £1 domains left. I think there's 1,000 going up tomorrow morning, Monday. So if you want a £1.co.uk, go down to UK2, go to our webpage first, use the click through, and if you stick the offer code in, you'll still get your 20% off. So it's an 80p domain. Can't believe how good that is. Go down there. Please support them as well, because if you use the click through from our website and you use the offer code, we get kudos for that. And when they want to renew the service that we get off them, we get credit for it. A return, if you like, an investment on return. Return on investment. I'll edit that. Never mind. And also, they really do look after us. They're very happy with what we've got going on. We've got another 2 years at it. And without them, the service that we get off them for a dedicated server with the amount of bandwidth that we consume, we'd be out £350 to £450 a month, which I just can't afford. So it does mean an awful lot to us. Please support me if you possibly can. Right then, where can we get a hold of you? Tone.
At tone_720 on Twitter. Also on the media show, which we recorded earlier, and I think that's going up later or tomorrow.
Excellent. The media show's up for a European Podcast Award. It's been nominated as well, so I need to do the banner for that. I'll do that now. Promise, Sarah, sorry.
Right.
Does Interlagos finish at a similar time next week?
It's on live on the BBC. I was checking the schedule. It's the programme starts at 3 o'clock and finishes at 6:15.
Right, so we can do this again next week.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. If you wanted to do it straight after the show, why not?
An 8 o'clock. Well, no, let's go for 8 o'clock. No, or do you want to do it straight again afterwards, Steve?
It was quite good fun.
We could do it a little bit later. We could watch the wrap-up.
Watch the wrap-up, yeah.
Yeah.
Steve's having trouble.
Say 7 o'clock, or is that...
Mike by this time next week.
Get a headset mic, mate. Logitech headset mic, and then you won't get as much background noise. You want a dynamic, not a condenser. Talk to Chris. He's the man. He'll tell you what to get.
Mm.
Chris, where can we get you, pal?
You may get me, as always, on the Twitters. At Christopher W. Send me messages, flame me, annoy me. Send me contrasting opinions, and I will rebut them more vehemently.
Excellent. Mm. Well done, sir. Very, very eloquent. Ms. Green, where are you? It's Grey, even. Not Green.
Yes. How are you doing?
You married Will Green at that point there.
Yeah, obviously. you can get me on the Twitters at Sarah Jane UK, and obviously on the Big Show from time to time.
Excellent. And Mr. Neighbour, where are you, sir?
The jet lag part, I mentioned that.
Just a little.
Resident pundit.
You're on mute, pal.
S-Neighbour, S-N-A-Y-B-O. You are on the Twitter.
You're Steve Neighbour on the Twitter, aren't you?
Steve Neighbour on Twitter, I think.
Yes, all right.
I'm one of them.
I'm glad I saved you.
Neighbours on Twitter, I'm one of them.
Excellent. We'll be back again next week with another episode of the F1 show, and it'll be the season wrap-up. So we'll look back over the whole season, and we'll look at how much cash burn he's earned and why he can't walk properly and he's so short. There we go. Have a good one. See you next week.